Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this?
Everybody, welcome to the Gridiron Blitz Sunday, August 10th show here on Blog Talk Radio and also on UltimateSportsTalk.com. I am your co-host, Erica Lynn Anderson of GridironGirl.org. I'm alone today. Oscar Lopez had some prior engagements. He obviously runs Gridiron Beauty. So NFL preseason is back. I hope everyone's excited for some football. Readily available on TV. Today we are recapping the exciting weekend at the WSA Championship, which is on August 2nd in Chicago. We will have in the No Joke Football Huddle Scott McCarron of the Seattle Majestics, who received the Owner of the Year Award for 2014, and his team participated in the first ever Alliance Bowl. Plus, the 2014 WSA champions, Boston Militia Stars quarterback Allison Cahill, running back MVP Whitney Zeeley, and all-world wide receiver and is it GI Queendom star Adrian Smith. First, I'm going to run down some news and notes from the women's gridiron team. Let's start off in the Queensland Women's League. You can follow at Women's Gridiron, and I am trying to read this, I apologize, GI Queendom, and check out the website wglouse.com for updates and history notes. So let's recap week one action as our No Joke football supporter and MVP at Christy L. Moran set a new record with 6 touchdowns as the Logan City Jets beat Southern Steelers 58-0. Moreton Bay Lady Hawks win as a new squad, winning 6-0 versus new squad Sunshine Coast Spartans. And the ever-tough Kenmore Panthers, led by Kestra Triasmono, defeated the Western Jags 12-0. 2013 champ Gold Coast Stingrays got a bye in week one. Week 2 recap, we will update on our timeline this week or follow at Women's Gridiron for update. For the LMFL Mexico recap, after 3 weeks of action, the best teams include Sunrise Fighters, Amazonas, and Crushers. The Sunrise Fighters continue to dominate play. The champions of 2013 are undefeated after 3 weeks, allowing only 6 points a contest, and an average of 51.3 points a game. They face the Tigres. We will update the scores this week. The Battle of Winless Teams this week will feature the Cyclones versus the Valkyries. The Valks coming in averaging 14.6 points, which are a bit better than the Cyclones. The Leopardos need to rebound in week four to stay in contention. They face the winless Kooks Fire, who are allowing 46.5 points a game. The Battle of, Aguas Calientes, featuring Amazons, who are 3-0, versus the Crushers, who are 2-0, both allowing under 10 points a contest. Follow LMFL1 on Twitter for updates and Facebook Liga Mexicana de Football Laundry. Follow at SS, NFL football for the All-Star Game and Super Bowl details for August 16th. Also follow at FA Texas Legacy for the Texas Indian Football League playoff results from this weekend. I know I'm butchering some of these names. I apologize. Legends Football League showcase the Big Pacific match, LA Temptations versus Seattle Mist, at the official YouTube channel. Temptations, led by running back Carmen Bursao, win and move on to the Western Conference match versus Heather Furr and champ Chicago Bliss. LA looks for a fourth Legends Cup appearance, and Chicago's going back for a back-to-back title run. Last night at the Farm in Ralston, it was Omaha Heart versus Baltimore Charm. Get the update at my LFL Twitter feed. And that's all I have for updates. Now let's go into the huddle, sponsored by Zavel No Joke Football Brand, where you can get your leggings, hoodies, and tees to sport like the popular Because It's Football. Visit the project site at zavel.com/gridironbeauties and use code ORDERSHIP10 for 10% off. In the huddle, we have the owner of the year, Mr. Scott McCarron of the Seattle Majestics, and the WFA champions Boston Militia, featuring quarterback Allison Cahill, MVP Whitney Zeeley, and all-world wide receiver Adrian Smith. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
How is everybody?
Doing great.
Not doing too bad. Just got off the golf course.
Ooh, that sounds fun. I bet the weather's nice for that. Sorry, Oscar couldn't make it, but I'll try my best to muddle through here. And like I said, I apologize 50 times, but we'll have some fun here. So, Scott, let's start with you first. Congratulations on your award.
Thank you.
Pretty awesome. And for you guys and your team being the first ever Alliance Bowl, how was the match versus Indy Crush?
I can't say it was our best effort. We only had about half of our regular team there. When you miss that many players, I think we were missing 6 of 11 starters on defense, so that's going to take its toll. We had some players that were playing positions that they hadn't played before, but at the end of the day, we made a commitment to be there, and the 14 players that were there wanted to play, and so we made every bit of effort that we could to make it a good game. Take nothing away from Indy. They played a good game. I wish we would have been at our full arsenal for that game.
Yeah, that had to have been hard to have that many people missing. Do you feel like, where you probably had some of the, backups where some starters were gone and people playing in different positions, do you feel like it was a good kind of a different skills where people could be in different positions? Were you concentrating on that at all?
I think it gave us some opportunity to play players that may not have played as much throughout the season and kind of get an idea about what they could do for next year. And I think when we went there, yes, we wanted to win, but we also had the mindset that being able to go there with some players that hadn't played as much, being able to put them on the field, let them make mistakes, which we knew that there would be, and then use those as teaching opportunities for the season going into next year. And, they played as well as they could have played. They battled as much as they could. When you've got 14 going, special teams, defense, and offense, it's a long game no matter what. So, we were proud to be a part of it, especially the first one. I remember having the first conversation about it several months ago with Lisa, and not about going, but just about the bowl itself. And we were excited to be asked after the loss to San Diego. So it was an exciting time for us to be able to go.
Good. Now, do you know if the WFA will be featuring this consolation game for all the championship weekends?
There's some discussion about what it's going to be next year. It could maintain an invitational status. You know, it could wind up being a quote-unquote third-place game for the top four. I still think that that's a little bit left to be decided, but as of right now, it will remain an invitational game.
Okay. Did you have fun in Chicago?
Yeah, we had a blast because myself and our head coach were also on the All-America coaching staff for the Kansas City staff. So we had All-American duties there as well, and then got to sit back and relax and watch the championship game that night, which I will tell you there, I guess people knew about us winning the Owners of the Year award before we did, because we didn't have a pitch get up until about an hour before the game that we were winning that.
Now, is the food as good in Chicago as I've heard it is?
Yeah. You pretty much can't go wrong with any of the food in Chicago.
Good to hear.
I think we had our feast of steak and pizza and Italian beef sandwiches. I mean, we pretty much ate the gamut while we were there.
Wow, you're making me hungry for sure right now. Did you watch any preseason games, any NFL this week?
I caught this is going to be bad to say because being a big Seahawks fan as I am, but I only watched about 3 or 4 minutes of the Hawks game. And then I caught some of the Cleveland Brown-Detroit Lions game last night when Johnny Manziel was in.
Okay. Now, did you get any ribbing for the Seahawks losing to Denver at all?
No. I think going into that game, pretty much all the Seahawks fans, you know, whether we won, I don't think it would have made a difference to us as fans going, you know, going in there and beating them or having, you know, or losing to them, because at the end of the day, it's preseason. You know, it doesn't really mean much. A lot of these guys are just trying to get some live action against another team in the first game anyway. So whatever, if the Denver fans want to use it as a, hey, see, we wouldn't have lost by as much, then whatever. But,
That's funny. I only asked because I got some people, obviously, know I'm a huge Patriots fan, and they're like, oh, what happened to the Patriots? And I'm like, okay, it's week one of preseason. Brady didn't even start. I'm not real concerned about them losing the Redskins. So the only reason I asked is because I got some good-natured teasing for sure.
Yeah, that tends to happen from fans that want to play up preseason football to be bigger than what it is.
Yeah, for not just an audition for the guys lower on the totem pole to try and make the final roster. All right, and let's talk to, I love Boston teams, so I'm pretty excited, to the champions, Boston Militia. I just want to congratulate you ladies on an amazing finish.
Thank you.
So I see that we have two of the Boston players. I just wanted to, who's all on?
We actually have all three. So we have Allison.
All three of us.
Oh,
yep.
You're all three. Oh,
yes.
That's what it is. So two of you must be together. Okay, good. That's good to know. I always saw the amount of numbers on there, so I wanted to make sure. Allison, let's start with you. So what was the game plan coming in? Because obviously the end result was a high-powered 69-34 win against, you know, a pretty tough third squad.
I think coming into the game, at least offensively, this is Allison, we wanted to make sure we got off to a fast start, knowing that we had a little more of a challenging schedule through the regular season and having been in a few tough games, close games, that if we got off to an early lead, I think it would affect them kind of mentally and maybe take them out of what they wanted to do a little bit. But, you know, as we said in our interview before the game, you know, you don't make wholesale changes going into the championship game, you continue to do what you've done all year and try to make the appropriate tweaks from a game plan perspective to exploit anything you may have seen, you know, from the other team offensively and defensively. So, you know, just stick to what you've done all year, and at least offensively, giving the ball to Whitney Azealia is always a good option. So we definitely did plenty of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like obviously the game plan was successful. So, Allison, how special is it now that your team is the only two-time WCHA champions and undefeated in the title matchup?
Yeah, we're really proud of that, but at the same time, every year is different. We had a lot of first-time champions this year. We had there was another Massachusetts team from the IWFL that folded prior to the season, and we absorbed a handful of their players, and they've been playing for a long time, and decided to join up with us, you know, unsure of how much they would play or, you know, what their level of contribution would be, but they ended up being huge contributors for us, and, you know, we're so lucky to have had them on board. So, you know, I don't think that any of us are really treating it like, you know, kind of a two-time champion thing or three-time, whatever. This year was just something in and of itself and was really special to the 30-something of us that were a part of it as players. But, you know, now that you say that out loud, that's a cool thing. But I think all of us are just so psyched about what happened this year from December to now. And it was really something special.
Oh, good. So, and I have here that teammate Keane's, is it Tony Gibson, who's a 41-year-old defensive end and a 14-season veteran that she retired Saturday. How special was that for the team? I know being a veteran of that long that she'll be missed, right?
Well, Tommy, so this is Tommy's first year with the militia, but the second she joined us, you know, Allison knew her from playing with her previous years. So she was telling all of us how special she was and how she was such an awesome teammate, and we definitely got to see that this year. Unfortunately for her, in our Chicago game in the regular season, she broke her ankle, but she still showed up to the home game throughout playoffs, and we were always asking her, hey, Tommy, you going to give it one more go in the championship game? And luckily for us, she decided to play in that last game. And I think this year was special for her, despite her injury. This team just, I think we made her feel at home. And I think she definitely had a place. She definitely contributed all season long on and off the field. So Tommy's a special player that she will be remembered as a, you know, militia player and a champion player and a champion. So we're excited to have her there.
Oh, it's good to hear. Now, Whitney, so I read that she said, I quote, I decided before the game that this was going to be it. So regardless of the outcome of that game, she was retiring. Did you guys know that she was retiring prior to the game?
Not really. I think that kind of talk is something we stray away from during the season. I think preseason there's always a question of who's coming back and who's going to have their last year, and postseason it's definitely a discussion. But, you know, during the season we're living in the moment, looking forward to the next game, not really talking about, oh, this is going to be my last, you know, just looking forward to the next.
Yeah. Okay. And, Whitney, you took the MVP honors once again, so congratulations about that. Can you tell us about your amazing accomplishments in the women's game?
Thank you. honestly, I don't know. It didn't necessarily feel like a standout game for me. It just felt like another game where my line was having an awesome game, going out for blocks and blocking for whatever running back was in. Receivers doing the same on the side. I mean, it was just an exciting game for me personally, just because my rookie year I was in the same matchup with San Diego 3 years ago, and it was just a different atmosphere, and I think I spoke about it the last time I was on this call, just having a different relationship with the game of football having seen so many people get hurt along the way, having suffered some painful losses along the way, this game, I was a different person, and the militia was a different team this game. So it was a unique experience and special, and I don't think it'll be repeated again, but it was definitely a special game, just like the entire year has been a special year.
Good. So, hey, Scott, so you've seen her live. So what's your take on this Adrian Peterson of the WSA?
For the militia team, is that what you mean?
Yeah, about Whitney.
Well, I can't talk about specific players because I don't know them well enough, especially having only seen them play once live. Had I watched more film, I could kind of give you a little bit better feedback on what they do over the course of the year. I can just tell you from watching the game, I thought Boston's run game was fantastic against San Diego. I mean, San Diego has been a pretty stout run team. I know they shut our running game down pretty well this year, and that's something we like to pride ourselves on. I was really amazed with how well they ran the ball and really dominated, I would say, for the most part, both sides of the line of scrimmage. Anytime you can do that, you're going to win a lot of games. There's a reason why they're as successful as they are, but it really showed in that playoff game who the number one team in the league is, and that's the militia. So my hat's off to you guys from across the country. I know we don't know each other, but that was one hell of a showcase for your guys' organization.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
So, Adrian, this was a long time big win given the conference exits. So how do you feel now that you guys have completed the task?
I think it's a tremendous sense of accomplishment. You know, as Whitney and Allison have alluded to, this was a different year for the team. Our numbers were thin from the beginning, and we had some major injuries to some key players, which turned out to be opportunities for some other players to step up and come into their own. But overall, it was, you know, this was a battle. It was from January all the way through to August 2nd. So we're talking 7 full months and a couple of days of battling and working together as a team and constantly trying to improve. So it feels absolutely incredible to be able to say, you know, yes, we capped it off with winning the championship.
That's awesome. And were all three of you on the team when you guys won the first championship?
Well, when the militia won in 2010, Whitney and I were not, but in 2011, yes, from then on, all three of us were.
Okay, so is this your guys' first championship then, and just not with the militia, but on a team that has won?
One more time, say that again.
So I just meant, so you guys weren't on the militia when they won in 2010. Is this your guys' first championship on a championship team then?
Allison was on the team that won in the IWSL League, so in 2010. And
right.
2011 was actually Adrian and I's first year with the militia.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I misunderstood that.
No
problem. Any of you ladies, are you guys watching NFL preseason?
I watched the Giants and Steelers last night, and Giants won by 3 points, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, and I watched a little bit of the...
Okay, sorry. So, Allison, I'm sorry, I don't know the difference between your guys, but Allison, do you watch in preseason? Do you have a team you watch?
Yeah, I'm a Patriots fan all the way. I tend to not be as
nice.
Yeah.
Oh boy,
of course,
here we go.
Hey, listen, you're the defending champ, so we, you know, it's not like the Patriots won anything. So respect to the Patriots, but You got to stick with your hometown team. But, yeah, you know, I don't typically watch the preseason as much just because, you know, you're less familiar with the guys who are out there playing. But I think as I get older, I do definitely have more of an appreciation for those guys who are out there trying to make the team because, you know, mm-hmm. if they don't, they're often in the same position as us and they end up, you know, being insurance salesmen or whatever it is that, you know, they don't get to follow through on their dreams. So I feel like I have a little, you know, share a little common ground with those guys in terms of trying to follow your dream, but, you know, not being able to play football to make a living playing football. But, if I'm being honest, I do definitely enjoy the regular season games a lot more. So, but it's good that we're built into that for sure.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. No, I just had a question for you guys as football players. Do you guys find that you watch the NFL game and/or college, whichever one you follow more? Do you guys find that you watch those games differently, being football players now and understanding the game?
I'll jump in on that. Yeah, I'll take that one because for me, it is absolutely true. I mean, I've always loved football since I was a little girl, but once I started playing, it became just this tremendously different experience for me. One, because I understood the game better, so, you know, I was just more in touch and in tune with what was going on from the offensive perspective and defensive perspective. But then also, as a receiver, I really started to hone in on how the professionals, how the guys were coming off the line, what moves they were using to get open. It almost becomes like a tutoring session for me. That's how I feel when I watch definitely the NFL level. I'm taking notes. I'm trying to, you know, understand what defenses are, like a defense is in a cover one or cover two, cover three, whatever, cover four, how that affects receiver releases and just the routes that they run. So for me, it's on a whole different level.
Do you guys feel that that by watching that game that it allows new players, I guess new players to the women's game, do you think having had them watch football prior to coming and playing the game, do you think that it helps them correlate to the game, or do you think it's just because they've watched it before doesn't mean they understand the game?
Well, I can speak to that because I'm somebody who called myself, you know, an avid football fan before playing, but I did definitely dumb the game down, and I always used to just watch the ball, so it seemed easy to follow. You're watching, you know, mm-hmm. quarterback and where the ball, you know, ends up. But I think having played football now, it's definitely so much more complicated than I realized, and I'm still, mm-hmm. you know, learning how to watch football, and I'm just, you know, getting to the point where I can slow the game down and really, you know, choose what to watch the linemen, watch the running back. I think, you know, when we watch film in preparation for games, we can literally slow the game down. But I think as a beginner, probably my first couple of years, it still seems so fast to me, you know, when I was watching something other than the ball. But I do think if you can slow the game down, you stand to learn a lot from, you know, watching the NFL.
I think we've found the same thing just from our players. You know, a lot of times we'll get new players that will come in and they'll see the big hit on the field. You know, everybody will be like, oh, she got jacked up or whatever, but they're not noticing the other things that go along with that play. And I think our more veteran players experience something very similar to what you guys just described. And it's really neat to see and hear players outside of just our group as well say that it's changed the way that I watch football, and it's allowed me to correlate what I'm watching in the NFL onto the field in the WFA. That, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. will only help elevate the game for the long run, and that's what's really cool to hear as a coach and an owner in the league.
Agreed.
So, Scott, do you feel like you watch football differently being a coach than like, let's say, if you're watching a game with your buddies? Do you feel like you are interpreting the game differently being a coach?
Yeah, I watch it more as the strategy of what teams are doing from a play-calling perspective. You know, how the coaches, what adjustments are they making? what plays are they calling and why, as opposed to really what's, you know, what is happening within the play itself. So it's kind of a blessing and a curse, because now I can't go back and ignore all of that stuff that I used to not know. So it makes it very tough sometimes as a coach to watch. But it also, it elevates the experience of watching the game differently than just being a fan and, you know, and just, oh, there was a big play. Well, you have to understand what all of the elements went into making that play a big one. And that's when it, that's when your knowledge of the game starts to round out and can help you on the field, either from a player or coach's perspective. It doesn't matter. And I can say, having been a coach now for 3 years with the organization, and learning under our head coach, you know, what I knew when I started was nothing. You know, I was just a fan of the game. But now where I am, you know, thankfully to the head coach, me being under, it, you know, it's been a really, really fantastic tutor for me. And it's, you know, it's allowed me to watch the game in a different way and then help teach it a different way too.
Do you feel like you kind of understand maybe those decisions that coaches are making, either in a live dating situation or even not in a live dating situation, that people are like, oh, my gosh, what is he doing? I can't believe he did that. Do you feel like you have a little more insight into kind of those weird things that happen that kind of only the coach knows?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I get into quite a few arguments with friends that watch it that way, you know, that don't know it from the coach's perspective and, you know, what a coach might be thinking. And, you know, I understand. Granted, these guys are NFL coaches. You know, I'm not going to know as much as them at their level unless I'm there, obviously. But, you know, you can kind of understand the nuances of it and why a coach may be doing certain things. And, you know, we get into arguments all the time with my friends over them watching a game a certain way and just, you know, not knowing it other than as a fan. And it's, you know, like I said, it's a blessing and a curse. as I'm sure it is for being a player as well, for the girls' perspective.
Yeah, for sure. Probably having all that extra knowledge in your head makes things a little more difficult, I imagine. So, Whitney, who is do you watch NFL?
I do. I try to.
Who's your team, if I may ask?
I'm a Patriots. I was born and raised in Boston, so I am.
Oh, this just keeps getting better and better.
Erica, you must have planned this. You guys are going to gang up on me, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's an awful fan, so... You guys aren't
too. That's funny. Did you watch the preseason game on Thursday between the Skins and the Patriots?
I saw a little bit of it. A few of us were actually hanging out, so we did see a little bit of it. I saw that they weren't scoring primarily, is what I saw.
Yeah, until Garoppolo got in there. They weren't, you know, obviously Brady didn't start. I don't know if they're shopping Mallet around to trade or not, but had him start, trying to give him some experience, I suppose. But I didn't get to watch the game. I poured over the highlights and kind of stuff like that. But I live in a part of the country that isn't big on putting Patriots games on TV. I think I need to move to Boston, where they're probably on TV all the time. So, Adrian, do you watch NFL as well?
One more time, I couldn't hear.
I said, do you watch NFL as well?
Oh, absolutely. Don't ask her what her favorite team is. It changes from week to week. Oh, my goodness. That's my best friend and quarterback, Allison, who hates me because I'm worldwide. Oh, my gosh. Really, Allison?
Adrian's getting called out now.
So, because I, you know, I am a player with a passport, I live in different places. New York Giants is one of the teams I like, but I've been since birth a fan of the San Francisco 49ers. So, there.
I've seen you wear a Jets hat when they're winning, too, but only when they're winning. But you own it.
Wait, because my favorite color is green. So what do you want me to do?
I'm going to wear a green hat. It's Jets. I'm in New York. I'm wearing a green Jets hat. My favorite color is green. That's it. Don't try to pigeonhole me, Allison. Okay?
That's probably hard
Thank
to stomach as a Patriots fan.
I think I just got sick.
Everyone will be
God,
okay.
That's funny. So Scott, you said you watched the Browns game. What when Manziel played? What was your? Do you have an analysis or kind of a summary of how Manziel looked?
He made some really good throws. Some of his throws were late. He missed some open guys where he took off and ran with the ball. I know that that's what he did at A&M, but there were a couple plays. I remember one, it was a comeback route on the, I guess it would have been the Detroit Lions sideline that he threw a little bit late that caused the pass to be incomplete. He was rolling out to the Browns sideline and had a dump-off pass to the fullback that he didn't throw and decided to run. He got a first down on that play. But, you know, I think being a rookie quarterback, those are the kind of plays that coaches are going to be looking for him to execute, because that can be the difference between a first down or not a first down. Now, for him, you know, his ability to run the football and escape plays, which is what he was famous for at A&M, is an element that not many other quarterbacks have. You know, Kaepernick and Russell here are the two that, you know, come to mind first and foremost. I would say Johnny probably has as good, if not better, ability to do that. Sometimes I don't know how he gets out of what he gets out of. And I think you'll see that as a rookie quarterback throughout the year. Hopefully he stays healthy. But, you know, his game will mature and improve the more he plays. So I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland started him at the beginning of the year. I know they're talking about starting Brian Hoyer, but I wouldn't be surprised if they started him, let him play, and let him work out some of those, you know, some of those kinks early in the season so that he'll improve over the course of the year and be an even better quarterback next year.
Yeah, you know, my biggest worry with Manziel is obviously his strength and could be, I don't know, in the NFL, maybe a bit of a weakness is, you know, that he rolls out a lot, he runs the ball, but it seems like even when he's trying, you know, his first instinct is to run. And so he's got, it seems like, nervous feet a lot. Like in the pocket, he doesn't, you know, maybe scan the field as long as he could to throw, because his instinct is to really run that ball. Do you think that's going to be a problem for him with these, you know, obviously the NFL defense is a lot smarter and a lot better than the college defenses he was facing. Do you think that's going to be a problem for him?
I'll answer it this way. I think the college offense that he ran at A&M enabled him to have, you know, one, I'd say maybe two reads that he would make before he was allowed to move. And so it was quick. I think you'll probably find something very similar in the NFL, where he'll be asked to make two reads, probably to one side of the field, before he starts to move in the pocket. And it'll happen so quick. You know, a lot of times you'll hear pundits say, well, he only has to make one read and then he can take off. That's not always the case. It may look that way, but oftentimes the way that coaches will set up their offense is to give a quarterback options to one side, so it simplifies the field for them, just narrows the field down for them. They only have to make two, especially with the way he moves, before he takes off. So I'm sure he'll be given some freedom that way throughout the year. I think that that's more of what you saw from Russell Wilson early in the season, and then the more that he developed his game, I'd say by, you know, game six or so, you were starting to see him scan the field to option number three, option number four, before he started moving in the pocket. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll be something that holds him back. I think that they'll cater the offense to his ability that way, and then loosen the reins on him a little bit as the season goes along.
Okay. So, Allison, being a quarterback, do you find yourself when you're watching a game, do you find yourself kind of studying the quarterback? Do you find that, do you find yourself really watching that position a lot?
Yeah, you know, you can't really avoid it because there's so much focus from the cameras and the way the game is produced on television. But, you know, I try to watch as a fan, you know, that's part of why we watch. And, you know, but it is cool now because you're seeing, you know, a variety of quarterbacking styles. You know, you have the prototypical pocket passers and Brady and Manning, Drew Brees, those guys. And then you have sort of the new wave of mobile quarterbacks kind of taking some of the elements of college football into the NFL. Whether it'll last, you know, remains to be seen. But it's pretty cool. Like, I'm not sure, you know, how many times in the history of football we've sort of had the two styles happening simultaneously, you know, and with Brady and Manning kind of towards the end of their careers, and these guys being at the beginning, it's pretty cool to watch and to see how defenses try to, you know, stop both of those styles of play. It is also interesting, and then you have guys who are kind of blending the two, like Russell Wilson. You know, he scrambles and escapes when he has to, but you know, for the most part, he's staying in the pocket, extending plays, and still looking to get the ball to his athletes in space. So, you know, it's fun to watch, and, you know, as a quarterback especially. But I love the game all around. I mean, some of my favorite players have been on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, football is just the best thing ever. And, you know, whether I'm watching the quarterback or defense or the team, whatever it is, you know, it's just always fun, always entertaining.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, even I've never obviously played the game, but I have such a passion.
Why not?
What's
holding you back?
I don't know. Actually, I didn't even by the time I started doing this, I think it looks amazing and fascinating, and I would love to give it a try. Unfortunately, I do live in Montana, and I don't think we have any teams here. But I bet I would. To be honest, it's amazing. Allison, you talked about watching as a fan. Do you find it hard to shut your brain off and try to watch it as a fan versus watching it as a player?
I don't think so. Actually, I think it's a little bit of both. But you know, I never feel torn or you know, tormented in any way. I watched the game for so long with my dad growing up that I was a fan first, and then, you know, through good luck and good opportunity, I'm able to now play the sport. But I think the times that I feel agitated are when people around me, whether you're out watching or you're at a game, you know, people who clearly have never played, are so quick to criticize and say, oh, why didn't he throw it there? Or, you know, why did he do that? Mm-hmm. Like, what is he thinking? And questioning coaching decisions. And like Coach was saying, Scott, I hope I have that right. You know, there's just so much more that goes into it, and it's so much more than what you see for 3 hours on Sunday. And I have such a respect for all those guys who are out there doing it, because I feel, you know, in our small little slice of the football world, you know, how challenging it is and what a great challenge it is, but, you know, mentally and physically. So, you know, I'm very slow to criticize, I think slower than the average fan, because I do have a sense for what goes into it and how big of a challenge it is behind the scenes and on the field as things are unfolding. But, you know, I'm definitely able to just enjoy as a fan at the same time as well.
I'm good. I actually don't watch games outside my house at all. I think I would probably be arrested. I tend to be a little unruly, so I tend to sit close to home. So, Adrian, you said, I think you were the one that said you kind of really study it from a player's perspective, right? You were the one that said that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So do you find it hard just to watch as a fan and shut your brain off? Is that kind of an impossibility for you at this point?
No, I think it's a combination. I mean, even when I'm playing, with the militia, and, you know, we're on offense and there's some phenomenal play, and, you know, Whitney breaks free, or Allison, you know, she's really been incredible this year with her run game as well, and they're sprinting down towards the end zone. Yeah, I am a player because technically I'm out there on the field with them, but I'm a fan at the same time because I'm just rooting them along. So it's, for me, there's always this duality, and it's, you know, I'm happy about it. I think it's an extreme privilege to be able to be a player and a fan. So whether I'm playing, you know, during my season with the militia, or I'm watching the NFL, it's still, in my mind, I'll be like, okay, you know, what would I do from the receiver position? But at the same time, if someone makes a great play on either side of the ball, I'm excited about it because I love the game of football. It's just so exciting to me, and it never gets boring, and I can always be a fan and a player. I don't have any issues with that whatsoever.
Oh, good. So, Scott, I'm curious, because I have a team in mind that I think is going to be a huge surprise this year that in the NFL that didn't do real well. Do you have a team in mind that you think is going to kind of be a dark horse that's really going to surprise people?
In the NFL?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, do I have a dark horse? This might pain you to say this. I actually think Arizona could be a dark horse team this year. I know they played pretty well last year, but having now been in the second year with the same coaching staff, they're very, very good on defense. And I think that their development on offense, and I know that they don't necessarily have a quote-unquote feature running back that they have, but I think the feature running back has really gone by the wayside in the NFL. For the most part, there's not many of those left. But I think from top to bottom, I think they're going to be a really, really tough team to beat in our division. And we'll give Seattle and San Francisco a run for their money when they play them. Everybody's kind of touting the Rams as kind of an up-and-coming team. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Bradford's got a lot to prove. They haven't really shown much of anything offensively in the last couple of years. They haven't been able to stay healthy. Their defense is very good, but, I get to put my NFC West hat on and say this is still the toughest division top to bottom. I think whoever wins the NFC will come out of this division. Yes, I know I've got bragging rights a little bit there. But I do think whoever wins the NFC will come out of this division at the end of the day.
Yeah, it is a tough division for sure.
Who's your surprise team?
I actually think the Jags. I think their draft pick with Bortles and getting him some protection at O-line, getting him some weapons at receiver, I think they're going to surprise people. I think I've seen tape of Bortles, and I think he's really impressive. And I think they're going to surprise some people. I'm actually pretty excited to see what they do this year because I think it's I think it's an exciting time to be a Jags fan, to be honest. And they haven't had a lot to be excited about in a while. So.
They did get some veteran play on defense. Obviously, some of the Hawks. Veteran players went down there to and signed. Offensively, I still think they have some question marks. You know, they lost Maurice Jones-Drew. Do they have a replacement at running back there? Can Cecil Shorts stay healthy? What kind of depth are they going to have? It's not like they're going to have Blackman back. There's still a lot of question marks around that team. And every year, there seems to be the NFL pundits seem to play up a team to be, you know, kind of this surprise dark horse team, and they always end up falling flat on their face. I think the two teams that the NFL pundits have kind of played up, one in the NFC have been the Philadelphia Eagles, and the other one has on the AFC side has been Jacksonville. But, you know, are both of them really going to play out to, you know, be dark horse teams? I don't think so. Philly has the best chance out of those two. But, you know, they still have to get through the upper echelon teams, which I don't know if they can do yet, defensively anyway.
Yeah, I'm excited about, you know, about Bortles. I'm excited about what, you know, I think they had a really successful draft, and I think turnaround-wise, you look at their season last year and really the last couple of years, and they may obviously, they're probably not going to, you know, they may not make the playoffs, but I think as far as turnaround from one season to the next, I think it's exciting. Like I said, I'm excited to watch them and see what they can do. I don't hate the Jags and I don't like the Jags, but I think as far as what they did in the draft. Adrian, I don't know if I have it right. Do you have anything for, is it the GI Queendom? Is that what it is?
Right, it's Gridiron Queendom, and it's a a sports media company I recently launched for women and girls who play and or are fans of American football. And it's really, you know, my attempt to kind of consolidate the world of women's football, whether it's flag football or tackle football, not just here in the States, but there are a lot of prominent tackle leagues in Europe, Germany, specifically Spain, even Australia, Guam, Mexico, Japan. I really am looking to kind of have us all band together around the world, not just in the United States and Canada, but really to promote the sport for one another, you know, help each other in whatever areas there might be, and really domestically in the U.S., try to come to some type of consensus of, you know, combining the leagues to make it into one really strong women's league. So anyone out there listening, if they're interested in kind of joining in on this cause, I would encourage you to go to Gridiron Queendom, and it's spelled just as it sounds. Gridiron as in football, Queendom as in kingdom, but it's queen because we're women. Go to the website, register, send me an email. I'm looking to get all teams in the U.S. signed up and have a representative that I can, my team and I, my staff and I can work with to, you know, get information about your team, what your needs are. For instance, when you're having tryouts, we can help disseminate that information. We're also working towards getting national sponsors so we can get some real monies into women's football as opposed to where it is now kind of at the local level. But if we band together, we can get the Gatorades, we can get the attention of the Nikes of the world to really move this sport forward. So, again, that's gridironqueendom.com. We're on Instagram and Twitter at GI Queendom, Q-U-E-E-N-D-O-M.
That sounds awesome. That is really cool. I commend you on kind of taking that on and launching that.
Thank you.
Like
appreciate
women's,
it. Thank you.
Women's football, you know, it doesn't get the notice and it doesn't get the accolades it deserves, certainly from, you know, like you're talking about the Nikes of the world and ESPN and all that. And I really wish you all the luck with that. I hope it helps you guys tremendously.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Scott, what do you have going on or coming up? Anything?
Well, we've got our next kind of event will be, you know, my wife and I are tied in with Make-A-Wish organization, and we have the Make-A-Wish Walk for Wishes out here on September 14th that our team will take part in. We set up a booth, have all of our players there interact with the kids at that event. We're always really excited about that. My daughter was a Wish kid from Make-A-Wish a few years ago. That's always a big event for us. And then following that, it'll really be getting training camp dates set and ready to go. You know, getting out on the recruiting trail and getting girls to come out and try out and come and play. The great thing is we got a lot of interest throughout the season. And, you know, from people that had never played, girls that had never played before, you know, that want to give it a try. So it's a really exciting time, especially with this will be our third year, going into our third year as owners. And it's been really, really exciting to see all the feedback from players that have come out and say, hey, I've seen you guys here, here, and here, or I heard about you guys, and I'd really like to give it a try. We're hoping that the numbers play out for a training camp that we think they will, but the arrow is pointing in the right direction for us, so that's good to hear.
Nice. You know, if I lived in Seattle, you may see me out there. I would love to play football. I think it looks so much fun. So, unfortunately,
I thought you were a New England sports fan.
What's that?
I thought you were a New England sports fan. What do you mean, Seattle?
I am. But, I mean, if I was in Seattle, I would make my way to try out, is what I meant. If I was in Boston, I would make my way to your guys' team. So.
Watch out. You might become a Hawks fan yet. Watch out.
Well, that's not happening, Scott. That's not happening. I am Patriots through and through. The tattoo on my foot says so. So. Allison or Whitney, do you guys have anything going on, anything you guys would like to promote or anything like that?
No. We're just trying to enjoy this itty-bitty bit of off-season that we're going to allow ourselves. And, you know, we'll be back to work sooner than later. But, no, we leave all of the heavy lifting from a promotional standpoint to Adrian. So whatever she's got going on, we're supporting.
Yep.
And on that note, thank you for passing that to me, Allison. Anyone out there listening in the New England area, definitely check out the Boston Militia website for upcoming dates for tryouts.
Now you're just making me jealous.
I mean, Erica, come on, there really isn't a choice. I mean, I don't know what you're doing.
You should
be in Boston. You should be trying out. So make it happen, Captain.
I know. Hey, I have been pushing Boston on my husband and promoting moving there for a while. So, I thank you guys for coming on here, Scott, Allison, Whitney, and Adrian, letting me muddle through questions and score reports. I appreciate everything and just want to congratulate you guys again on your big win and wish you guys all the health and success and everything in your careers possible.
Thank you so much.
I'd just like to say to the militia players and those that are not on and the coaching staff, you guys are a fantastic team to watch. It's great to see the level of play that you guys were at this year. And it's great to be a part of a league that you guys are a part of. You guys are well-spoken athletes and women. It's just really neat to see from you just from somebody that's, you know, doesn't know you guys other than knowing your team from across the country, to hear how well-spoken you are, how humble you guys are, how well-prepared your team was. It's really neat to see from afar, and I commend you guys and your entire organization on a great season this year.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks so much. That's really kind. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And, Scott, I wish you luck in everything you're endeavoring, and congratulations on your honor and playing in the Alliance Bowl. I appreciate you coming on here and
setting your
Hawks agenda.
I appreciate it as always. Thanks for letting me come on.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I look forward to talking to all of you again in the future.
Same here.
Thank you. We'll look forward to it.
Yeah. All right. Have a great Sunday, you guys.
You too. Bye-bye.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening. I appreciate your patience and my stuttering at times. And Oscar, we miss you. Can't wait to talk to you next week and see how your weekend's been. Hope it's been great. Again, just want to thank everybody for listening, and I hope you guys all have a great Sunday. Please check out gridirongirl.org and at gridirongirl.org. That's our Twitter. My Twitter is at PatsFangirl12. I'm going to probably have a post up here soon about preseason week one. You can probably expect a rant for my Are You Kidding Me videos. Also, I have 2 spots left on the fantasy football team. If I don't hear in the next couple of days, we're going to move forward with the teams we have. So that's exciting. So have a great Sunday, everybody. Thank you.